It's Elisa Ali with this week's EQFM album ReQ. We're pulling out the Indigo Girls' magnificent self-titled album. The record was released in the winter of 1989, and by summertime, it had already reached gold status before eventually going platinum. Though only in their 20s when they wrote it, the songs show a creative maturity that helped many people find their way in the world. There are lots of Indigo Girls fans here at the station, perhaps none bigger than Rita Houston, so I've invited her to talk with me about the album. Welcome, Rita. Thanks so much for joining me. This was an important record for you, wasn't it?
It sure was. I mean, it's the late 1980s. We're in New York City. There's not a lot. I mean, there are gay bars, there's stuff. But when the Indigo Girls came along and started filling first Town Hall, then Radio City, then Madison Square Garden, there was a wonderful scene and camaraderie that formed around them that was much needed at that time.
A lot of people think that this was their debut album, and it was actually their second album.
That's right. It was definitely their breakthrough album, but it was their second album, the eponymous record, if you will, with the opening track of Closer to Fine, broke everything wide open for Indigo Girls.
Closer to Fine is really their signature tune. I believe they still play it at almost every concert.
Well, you know how artists have those songs that they can't get off stage without performing. And for the Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine is definitely it. And they typically have a guest artist sing the third verse. You know, so like one of my lifelong dreams is to be asked to do that third verse. I stop by the bar at 3 a.m., you know, but they always have a special guest join them for that third verse, typically.
Emily calls that the Hootenanny song. Now, what is your favorite deep cut?
I think my deep cut is Land of Canaan. You could go to the east to find your inner hemisphere. I think my favorite lyric from the record comes from Closer to Fine, which is a lyric I think that we could all relate to. Darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. How do we always run towards the dark and run away from the light? We all do it as human beings, and Indigo Girls just putting that into a perfect little couplet.
Emily's got four songs on this. Amy's got six. They both write separately, but wow, how they harmonize.
I mean, books can be written about their harmonies and just the way that they play them off. And it is interesting. They've been friends since elementary school, but they've never been a couple. Everyone thinks because they're both gay, they were a couple at some point, a romantic couple. And yes, exactly as you said, they write their songs separately, then bring them, then they get filled out by the band, and the harmonies get filled out, and the counter harmonies. And they are operating at a very high level once they get their songs in the studio. They've produced some great records, and at the core of it is their harmonies.
A lot of Indigo Girls fans will identify as either an Amy or an Emily. Which do you identify as?
You know, like a lot of girls, Elisa, some days you're an Amy and some days you're an Emily. It is interesting how they've been typecast. Like Amy's the more hard-edged rock, strums the heck out of the mandolin. Emily tends to write the softer ballads, but Amy's got a bunch of ballads in the catalog as well. So they also, I think, switch off within their what appear to be very prescribed roles. So I'm a little bit Amy, I'm a little bit Emily on any given day.
So two voices, two guitars, so powerful. They do have some backup though. They're from Atlanta, so not surprisingly, some of the REM boys are on this.
Yeah, they've been friends with the REM guys forever, and Kid Fears, which is really one of the heart-wrenching, angst-ridden. I could sing that song whenever I need a good cry, and man, you are guaranteed a cry in 30 seconds flat with Michael Stipe's harmony vocals on Kid Fears. And Hot House Flowers, who were a huge band in the late 80s at the time, are all over Closer to Fine.
And I mentioned that they had great success with this album, and they scooped up a Grammy Award for Best Folk Recording. They also were nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys, which is very often the kiss of death. And in this situation, it kind of proved that point.
Wasn't that the year Milli Vanilli won Best New Artist and then ended up having to give the award back?
They should have given it back and then given it to Indigo Girls and said, sorry, this is rightfully yours.
It's so true. And they've really had an interesting career that continues to be guided by their love of philanthropy and their activism, their love of harmonies, their love of literature. Their songs are so lyrically rich, and that continues to guide them.
Time now, Rita, for the EQFM 6. Can you describe the album's sound or impact in 6 words?
Well, I'm going to make it about me because that's what I do. So my EQFM 6 will be something like, I want to be the third Indigo Girl.
Rita Houston talking Indigo Girls on this week's EQFM album ReQ. Read more on the Indigo Girls self-titled album at EQFM.org.